Hello there. Welcome to our podcast here at Shiloh, where you bring you spiritual insights from many servants of God so you can be equipped for the work that He has ordained you for. So grab a cup of coffee or tea or chocolate, recline and relax, and enjoy this episode. Be blessed.
Hello, you. Hello there. You're welcome to our podcast this evening, the 1st of April 2020. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Shiloh Tabernacle, and my name is Pastor Reuben Boomer. I'm going to be your host this evening, and I will be joined by other hosts, people will call in later as the program progresses. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you are doing well. I hope you're well. Your well-being is good, irrespective of what we are going through. I know it's a bleak outside there, but I know that you are being remaining strong wherever you are. So, yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. And this evening, we want to talk about how to remain strong, especially during such a period like this one. Just how to be strong, how can you be strong? Many people are feeling the pressure. I don't know about you. But the pressure is too much. It's too much pressure out there. So yeah, today we'll be looking at how to remain strong, and I hope that you can follow through as we talk today, and that you will be tremendously blessed as we share experiences here and there. Amen. Yeah. So, I want to talk about the effects of what's going on. We're talking about the buzzword today is social distancing. Social distancing, which comes in the forms of self-isolation. You've got quarantine. We've got all these strong words that some of us had never heard about. Social distancing. I don't even know how it becomes social distancing, because we are created to be social beings. So when there's distance, we are created to be together, to be, you know, in proximity with one another, shake hands, give each other hugs, and you know, or being in community, and that is what is called social. So when somebody talks about social distancing, to me, I think it should be called unsocial distancing. But there you are. Well, social distancing involves changes in the practices of our behaviors, so that, you know, we can stop the spread of this dangerous virus that is going on. That entails, like I said, staying away from, you know, meetings, social gatherings. Staying away from schools. Schools have been closed. We are no longer at work. Churches are closed. People are no longer going to pubs, concerts, and all those social gatherings. And that is, you know, is having a toll on people. So I don't know about you. So later on, we'll be asking a few people and trying to find out how they are doing. That means, you know, working from home now. People are working from home thanks to technology. Recently, I got a video that kind of was passing through of some colleagues who were having a meeting on I think Zoom. And then one of their colleagues was at home in his bedroom, I think, wherever he was, on his laptop. And this guy was stuck naked. Little did he know that he was on the camera. The feed was spreading all over the meeting, and you should have seen the people on the meeting, you know, in stitches. This guy didn't know that the camera was rolling. So if you work from home, my friend, and you are on video, make sure that you have your gloves on. Otherwise, when you get back to work, You may wonder why people are laughing and are rolling on the carpet. So this social distancing and the closing of schools and closing of all those gatherings has left our kids at home. Some of us are stuck with kids. I'm lucky that my children have grown. My youngest is 16, he can manage himself. But some of you have got kids at home. You have got, you know, little ones, and controlling them is not easy. Keeping them occupied is not easy. That's how you begin to cherish teachers, to cherish teachers or teachers. We know we wake up in the morning and just drop our kids at school gates and disappear, only to emerge at 4 p.m. or 3, whatever, the kids finish school and picking them up. And when we take them back home, the very few hours we have them when they are awake, it's like, you know, we are really tired of them. So I don't know whether some of you still have hair on your heads. I don't know. But we'll just want to hear how you are coping. Now, the role of teaching has come back to the parents, the original teachers anyway, who had been running away from it. But I think now is the time that we going back to the roots as parents to become the teachers of our children. Yeah. So social distancing in and of itself is good. It's good because it reduces on the contagion, but it comes with unwanted consequences, and that's what we want to talk about today. It comes with uninvited consequences, you know, because increased loneliness can cause some issues that will cause a ripple effect all over for some people over a period of years to come, and that's not good. Especially older people and people who are single. That's why we need to cherish and thank God for families, those of us who have got families. You've got a wife, you've got children. Thank God for them because you've got somebody to interact with. So spending days and weeks at home with limited resources and social contact can really take a toll on somebody's mental health, you know. There is enormous variation in people's ability to handle social isolation and strength. Not everyone is going to handle this situation or this season at the same level of mental health. We are not at the same level first and foremost. We're not at the same level of mental stability and fortitude. There are some people who already experiencing issues with their mental health. They had already had the social anxiety. They already had depression. They already had loneliness. Some of them on substance abuse. Some of them had already health issues. And at this moment, they are very vulnerable. Yeah, very vulnerable. So I don't know what people feel. I'm going to invite, I'll be inviting one of my daughters, Bridget Osulwa, to share on how she has been handling this situation. I don't know whether, Bridget, you are available to call in. If you are available to call in, please do call so we can hear from you. As we wait for Bridget, I want to share a few things that such situations can cause on human beings. Issue number one is fear and anxiety. fear has been going around like crazy, you know. People are anxious about themselves. I don't know about you. People are anxious about themselves. Am I going to catch this? You know, hey, is my family member going to catch this? You know, some people already having trouble sleeping. Some people already having trouble focusing on the daily tasks. So yeah, fear. I don't know how you are wherever you are. Marcy, are you ready? Can we hear from you? Let's see. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's hear from Marcy. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Marcy, are you?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello, Marcy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, 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 good.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. Taking every day as it comes. Yeah, literally taking every day as it comes.
As it comes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, how have you been social distancing?
Staying in bed. Staying in bed is the only way I'm able to social distance.
And how has that left you feeling?
It's new, it's different. I think for me, with the whole social distancing and staying inside and staying at home, it's almost like, because I would do that normally, I'm a homebody anyway. But I think now that because the government are like, no, you shouldn't go outside, it makes me want to go out even more. It makes me want to see my friends even more than I did before. So it's almost like that thing when you're told not to do something, you want to do it even more. So that's where my head is at personally. But other than that, it's okay. I can, thankfully for technology, I can FaceTime and be on the phone with all my friends at the same time, video calling. So it works out really great. And it kind of gives us more time to spend with each other, even though it's virtually, because a lot of us are, we're all busy. We've all got busy schedules. But now that a lot of us are at home or even at work, we can squeeze in an hour and just laugh and talk about and catch up on any and everything, really. So it's got its benefits and its, downfalls as well. Yeah.
Speaking to your friends, what do you hear from them? How are they going?
They're doing well as well. I think things like obviously the quarantine is affecting graduations. One of my friends' graduation's just been cancelled, so without a date for postponement. So she's okay, but it kind of like she worked hard for her master's, so she wanted to get her certificate on the day and celebrate and everything. So it's taken its toll on some people. Others are like, obviously we've heard that it may be going on till June. Others are worried about what they're going to do, myself included. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with myself from now till June. So yeah, we're kind of just winging it and seeing how everything happens.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. It's
Yeah.
not like it's a very
It's yeah. It's not, but I think it's sort of taking every day as it comes and finding something to do rather than being idle, even if it's just watching something other than news, other than following the feed on social media or Twitter or wherever on all the sites, and just being, focusing on the things that are around you and being grateful for the things that are around you. I think you just mentioned about being grateful for having family, and it's taking that time to, actually be with family and pause for a moment and just sit down together. Like
Absolutely.
that goes a long way,
Yeah.
where people may have been working 9 to 5s and they didn't actually have that time before. They have it now, so it works out really well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about that, I think that this is a time to sit down and reflect for all of us and begin to appreciate God, especially for the things that we've been getting for granted. I encourage people out there to spend some time, and every day from now, maybe the whole of this week, we remain with 4 days or 6 days, whatever. Just make sure that you write you are thinking carefully and keep a journal of things that that you think that you are thankful for.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep them, write them down, and meditate upon those, and live in a mode of appreciation
Yeah.
instead of wondering and wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
Focus on that. Focus on the things that are before you. I think that's going to help a lot of people.
Definitely. Journaling is a great way to not just kill time, but also just reflect, as you said, and really think about it, take everything in. I'm I love to journal myself, whether it be writing or video journaling. I actually started a videos for myself, sort of, because I know that I'm one of those people that needs to be around people. I'm an extrovert. I love being around people. I love interacting with people face to face and, you know, in person. Yes. So, I sort of started like a, I don't want to call it a blog, but it's because it's for me personally. It's like quarantine files. I call them quarantine files. And I literally just speak every day and just share what's on my head, what's in my head, what's happening in the day. And then I go back and watch them and just laugh and actually just see what what I was thinking about last week and what was troubling me last week isn't troubling me today.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem that I may have had with somebody, I sorted it out now. And the problem I had with myself, I dealt with it now. So it's, journaling is great. It's a great practical thing to do in this time.
Now we have time.
Yeah, you have the time.
Yeah, I can see we have Bridget on the line. Bridget, how are you?
Yeah, and Ronnie.
Bridget, hello.
Hello, Bridget, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Blessed and highly favored.
Uh-huh, and the devil?
Is stressed and depressed.
That's right.
How are you, Ronnie? I can see your glass as well. How are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm blessed. Thanks so much.
Wonderful. So, how have you guys been doing? How are you so far with the household, with the kids around full time? How are you doing?
At first it was a bit difficult because having three little ones, you know, six and under, is not easy, and. Kids are so used to routine and boundaries, and I think it was more of a shock for them having to stay at home. And I think because we started staying with them a week earlier than the school closed, because one of them wasn't feeling well, and the first week everything was up in the air. No boundaries, and it was pretty difficult, wasn't it? Yeah, and I think as the week came on, the following week, we decided to set some routines. And one of the things that we try to engage them with is exercise.
Exercise, yeah.
Which we do as a family. And also having to do homework with them and, you know, coming up with new things to teach them and to keep them engaged, because the teachers captivate them for 6 hours a day.
Can you imagine? Wow.
And it's quite different when we have, as parents, we have to kind of adjust to that.
Yeah.
So we've had to change so much of our homeworking, because as well having, I started working home already.
That's good.
But now my husband had to now also start working from home and having to share the office.
Yeah, that's I can see the dynamics there.
But yeah, so it's been quite good, I think. The way we have managed to get ourselves in a routine, I think it's also down to faith in God and taking this time, and rather than seeing it as gloom, as you preached on Sunday, is either do we see darkness in darkness or do we see light in darkness? So we decided to take light in darkness.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
And yeah, and take time and teach our children the word of God, exercise, do family time, do puzzles, do quizzes. And also, I think you can either see it as stress or you can see it as time to get to know your children, get to teach your children, because so many things have been going around in schools. They're teaching them things that are far too young for their age to comprehend. And this is our chance to kind of like impact, even if it's 3 months, to realign them to our values and our morals and our beliefs. So I think that's one way we've been looking at it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you created the routine, yeah?
We have a routine. Mm-hmm. We try to keep to it as much as possible. Yeah, but I do have to say it's been quite effective as well with us, with our mental well-being. So we set it in our routine that every evening we go out for a walk for 2 hours in the park.
Yeah.
And just so that we keep connecting to the outside world without engaging with other people in a physical way, because I think we are such a physical beings.
Yeah, and social beings, yeah.
Yeah, and very social. And I think for us, we've been privileged because we are five of us in the house. So I can't imagine for someone who's alone in their house, it would be a whole different issue for them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Bridget. Ronnie, there's a lot of fear. People are scared out there. I mean, what do you think feeds people's fear, and what should they do? What do you advise them to do to combat that fear and anxiety?
I mean, first of all, it's amazing that it takes like something like drastic, like at least for us to realize that breathing and that other people do. For example, now we're realizing how amazing teachers are.
Yes.
You know, to have these kids and teach them every day and contain them, and because most parents are struggling now. And I was watching last year, I was watching the parliament, and they passed a bill, the opposition, to increase the salaries of the nurses. And they voted it down, and they were clapping and rejoicing because it didn't pass. But now they're realizing how key the people are the time now.
Yeah,
it takes something tragic to actually realize how
important
it is. And now we get like a glimpse of what teachers sort of go through.
What they go through.
And have different families, different beliefs, different upbringings, all in the same class.
Yeah.
But what they do is amazing, and what the nurses and all other key workers are doing is
absolutely wow.
And I think one of the things to remember now is just to validate whoever's fearful and anxious and stressed, just because we are humans, and it's natural to be fearful and stressed at times and feel lonely at times like this. You don't just sort of rubbish that feeling and send it away. Just acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah.
And then find ways of addressing it. Really. Because the thing is with fear and worry, it is a good thing. But when it becomes excessive, that's when it becomes a sort of a bad thing. I think the way we're created, we're like a bit like gods, you know, because we're gods. God plans ahead and put things in place before they happen.
Yeah.
So with humans, we sort of plan ahead. That's worry, really. That's where worry emanates from. We plan ahead. And the whole point of planning ahead is just so we can acknowledge or work out what the problems or barriers that are going to come through, so we can work out solutions before we reach there.
Absolutely. Wow.
So that's the good worry. The good worry helps us achieve goals and makes us better lives.
Yeah.
But then when it becomes when planning ahead or worrying becomes bad is when it becomes excessive.
Indeed.
For example, the good worry will be like, okay, I'm worried about this COVID-19. Yes, everyone is worried. Acknowledge that the worry is there. Realistically, what do I do?
So,
I have to wash my hands, I have to social distance, I have to quarantine, I have to, I don't have to go to the park and mix with other people. So that's the good worry. It helps you, you know, put plans in place for you to achieve a goal. We don't want to die, we want to be healthy. This is what you do. But the bad worry, it just becomes excessive. So the mind starts catastrophizing, you know. You always think, the mind starts thinking of the worst case scenarios.
Absolutely.
Which is, if I die, maybe I have it. And the moment someone has a cough, oh, God.
That one has been.
Someone could be having a bath and it's warm and they're still hot, or I have a temperature. So I think in psychology they call it like somatic illnesses, where the mind you feel there's a you feel there's something wrong. But when they take the temperature, or you could feel like, oh, my leg, someone with a somatic illness, they could feel like my leg is broken. And then they do a scan, and there's nothing. But it's in the mind.
Oh, my God.
So that's what sort of fear, fear brings.
Absolutely. Wow.
And then for parents, what I realize is the attitude of parents is so key in a crisis. It's so fundamental. Because they can read that you're fearful. They can read that you're scared. And they'll be anxious.
Wow. Have you read that? Have you heard that from those young ones there? Do you think they are catching the fear?
No, absolutely not. And I think, I don't want to blow on trumpet, but I think it's down to us.
Yeah, that's
good. We have refused to be, you know, to be fearful.
Mm-hmm.
But make the mistake, they know what's going on. They know how they close the school. Because our six-year-old, she was, this coronavirus, this she knows it.
Yeah, recently she said something about like, oh, this news just keeps going about coronavirus. Is there something else?
There you are. Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you talk about fear and anxiety, one of the things that has been causing that is the news. The news.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the news. What you constantly hear, you tend to filter towards, you know, and the news is negative. Everything you see is, they're telling, oh, the number of people who died has increased. That's all they keep saying. That's all they keep. So if so, what I think, in order to, what do you think somebody has to do in order to combat that?
I think that's a very important point, because what you feed your mind just builds a narrative. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
Because you never hear of those who recover, but there are many, there are hundreds of people who are recovering.
Absolutely, there are many who are recovering. That's true.
But no one publicizes them,
mm-hmm.
or even the mind just ignores them, but goes for the negative. So I think in terms of that, what we've done in order to limit news as well.
Absolutely. And limit
that. Give it like, if it's 15 minutes, that's it. That's my, I've got the headlines now. And then obviously social media as well, it plays a bit, because it tends to flourish on the negativity and the fear. Because social media is a horror. It's like a wild jungle. People can be really, really horrible.
You know what? Most of it is fake. Most of it is fake. Especially
absolutely.
Yeah. So, like you're saying, Ronnie, I think for people listening out there, for us to mitigate against this fear and anxiety, we need, like Ronnie said, to limit our news consumption. Limit your news consumption, and most especially, check out the reliability of your sources, because people, like he's saying, like Ron is saying, that the social media has become like it's like a jungle. Everybody just posts anything, and then we've got some, especially be careful of something that has been posted by a friend and forwarded by a friend and their friend's uncle. You know, friend's uncle. Who's not a specialist in any of these things we are talking about? So that's spreading fear. The other day there was somebody who forwarded something that was saying, tonight at 11, is it 11 or 9? Leave your
window. It was 11, yes.
Yeah, not leave
your window.
Spreading what? You understand? So that in and of itself is fear. So people have been jumping off group chats and all because of incessant messages that are not true. So be careful what you listen to, what you see, and what you read. Those things are very important. Thank you so much for that. Another thing is that I've realized is that you're talking about depression. Depression has become something. Is one of the negative effects that is bound to come onto people, and at times people are left with feelings of sadness, low moods, because the meaningful activities like work and social activities have been withdrawn from them. It's like, you know, human beings, we are like when it comes to relationships, we are like people who are on drugs. You know, once a person on drugs is taken away from the situation of drugs where he can't really take them, they go into withdrawal. So some of us are already in withdrawal. What do you think people can do to mitigate against, you know, that depression and boredom? I think you've already mentioned some of them, like you know, those routines. What else can they do?
I think and the fact now we're isolating, the loneliness, that's sort of the main trigger, you know. I think there's a quote, I don't know who said it, but it says that an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Whenever the mind is just idle, there's nothing to do, which we are because we're isolating. The mind just starts thinking and worrying and excessively thoughts after thoughts and then one thing leads to another, so it can be really, really difficult. I guess, like you said, we are social beings. We flourish and thrive on connectivity and connecting with people. And I think now it's down to us to just to still connect with people by in creative ways.
Thank you.
Like what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. Like call friends, or if you have friends, video call, or there's lots of resources on WhatsApp. You can use video, Zoom, there's Skype, and all these things. Once you have internet, it's really they're really free services to keep in touch. Really. You know, share your worries with someone.
Share your worries with someone. That's very key. Share your worries with somebody, guys. Listen, please do not feel alone. We may be socially, you know, distanced, but we are not apart, because as Ronnie is sharing, there are modes of communication. We can call, you can text, you can video, you know, FaceTime, you can ear time. There are many things you can time, you know, so that we are together, because psychologists, you know, believe that such, although it is a virtual contact, it still also, you know, alleviates the problem of loneliness, because at least you feel that you're connected to somebody.
It's also important to acknowledge that, you know, things are difficult at the moment, and you're not overreacting. You know, where your worries and are real,
they're valid.
Absolutely.
What was that?
Always have. Sorry.
What did
they're mean? Valid.
They are valid. Thanks very much. That's the word. They are valid. You're not overreacting. And always remember that the impermanence of it. This is gonna come and pass. It's not gonna be there forever, because many things we've seen have come and gone. It will come to pass.
Wow.
And then you consider this crisis as an opportunity to be kind and loving, not only to others, but to yourself. Because if you remember, if you're the one experiencing that, you know, all these signs of depression, either you're not sleeping, or you're sleeping a lot, or you're not eating, or you're eating a lot, you're having experiencing suicidal thoughts or negative thoughts, self-esteem, you're not good enough, all these. Think of if a friend calls you, your best friend calls you, and she says, or he says, look, I'm experiencing this, I feel a bit down, I'm feeling this. Any human being will show compassion. It will be, will we encourage them, reassure them?
Yes.
We all have that in them.
Yes.
But for some reason, when it's us experiencing that, we tend to be harsh on ourselves. So you take this opportunity to just acknowledge your worries and show compassion to yourself.
My God, to yourself first and foremost. Wow.
So there's something that is used quite a lot in CBT, just writing a compassionate letter to yourself. Now these things sound a bit odd initially, but you try this thing and you write like a really love letter to yourself, a compassionate letter to yourself. You know, if you've made mistakes, and forgive yourself and all these things.
Yes.
Because it's something you put down and you read it over and over again. These things are quite really, really helpful. And I heard Minister Master say about like writing journals, I think.
Yes.
Journal thoughts.
Journal thoughts, gratitude,
Absolutely. Gratitude is a really good one as well. and then obviously prayers are really fundamental, in our lives and worship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just put on worship and listen to the words and mm-hmm. you know and try to get the meaning of them, and then you sort of connect.
Mm.
Because worship to us is a bit like therapy. It is like therapy. Actually.
Mm.
It is therapy.
Mm. Mm.
Like, and when someone goes to a therapist and they say, this is the issue," and then they listen.
Mm.
God is the best therapist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Absolutely.
Bridget, tell us about the Word of God. How is the Word of God helpful in such a time?
I think in such a time as this. This is when we realize that mm-hmm. the impact the Word of God mm-hmm. must have in our lives. Because
mm-hmm.
often, first and foremost, if we take the Word of God to be our first point of deliverance,
mm-hmm.
our first point of any answer, of any weary, of any query, of any worry,
mm-hmm.
because we've so been used as people of the church to always run to somebody else to either lay hands on us or pray a prayer over us and something will happen. But I think such a time as this has brought us to come back to reconnect with God through his word.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Ronnie was saying, that showing compassion to yourself, we see in the Bible, David said he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Mm.
How do you encourage yourself in a place of depression?
Yes, yes.
You go back to see what the word says about you.
Yes, yes.
So then this can be your first source of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think that, oh, I've done so bad, I'm not good, and God is telling you that you're the apple of my eye, it's sort of a love letter that's already been written for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in such a time as this, going back to the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, because these days there's so many platforms to listen to the Word of God. If you're not in that position where you can't open a Bible because you're in a dark place, put on an audio Bible.
Yeah.
Put on a Psalms.
Yes.
Because one of the things I realized in the books of Psalms is David starts off depressed and finishes victoriously.
Absolutely.
So I think in such a time as this, the fundamental truth is the Word of God is our first point of contact.
Amen. Amen.
And I pray that people come to realize the power that is in the Word of God.
Yes.
Because sometimes we have passed over it and we've like, oh, I've heard that before, or that scripture has been said before.
Yeah.
But then in these moments like this, that's when you take it and you're like, okay, how can it work in my life at this point in time?
Personalize it.
Personalize it to the situation. People have lost jobs.
Yeah.
And this is the time when you're like, okay, the Bible says that you're my provider.
Mm.
So now this is the time you actually dig into it, meditate, and you're like, okay, if you're my provider, what does that mean? What does that mean to me in this situation? So I believe that in such a time as this, the Word of God, to be honest with you, is our hiding place. And it's also a source of, of knowledge to impart to our children.
Yes.
Because one thing I've realized and I'm so thankful for in this time of isolation is that I underestimated how much my children have a revelation of the Word of God. I heavily underestimated them, but then because there was little time of when between all the hustle and bustle of life, yes, you did altar, yes, you prayed, but most of the time you didn't actually sit down to allow them to engage in the Word and them to tell you what they think what they've read means. And some of the things that come out of these babes is so powerful and so profound.
Wow.
So I think such a time is just go into the Word. Let your children go into the Word. And then give them time to explain to you what they think. Don't enforce what you think on them. give an opportunity to for them to explain to you what they've understood. And this is when I realized the word of God is so powerful. It has no age limit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 100%. Wow. Awesome. No age limit. I like that. Wow. Awesome. Yeah, talking about that, I think, you know, like you said, God is our hiding place and we need to hide ourselves in His word. His word has got all the answers for us. That's where we must stay. And those are some of the interventions and the things that we need to cultivate at such a time as this. Especially like you're saying, you know, we can be praying together with your kids, sharing the word together is something that we need to cultivate at such a time as this. I think this season has come to bring us together as families. Some of us, like you said, we didn't know that your kids were that revelatory in the word. Some of us didn't know that we relate in this and this manner. I think this has brought us together and we need to thank God for it. Although it's not a good time, but we thank that God that is bringing us together. Another thing that we need to think of to do in such a time as this, I think, is to focus on the things that you can change. Because we tend to, if you expend your energy on the things that you cannot change, then there's a problem. I think that's what Jesus Christ was teaching in talking about the word of God. What he was teaching in Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 33. That portion of scripture has become more alive to me than ever. You know, mm-hmm. when he was saying, you know, do not worry about this, not worry about that, not worry about mm-hmm. that. But, you know, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he was saying, one of the questions he asked, who has ever thought too much, that out of your thought, of your thinking too much, you have added some weight on you, or some height on you, rather?
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot add any weight. So we tend to waste, you know, resourceful time that we could be using to do something else creative. We spend it in worrying over something that we cannot change. That's what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
On things you cannot change. So let's focus on the things that we can change, but the things we cannot change, let's, you know, walk away from them and use this time to read the word of God, listen to the word of God, watch something that's uplifting. It's not the time to watch horrors and to watch, you know, all those
one of the things I realized when it comes to the word of God is us going back to the word of God preserves us from another form of, you know, how do I say, the voice of fear that's not even coming through the news, but through the church.
Amen.
Because also people in such a time as this, they begin to speculate. And they take their speculations and say, "Is as God has spoken." This is when you come back to the word of God. It's like, not just because somebody who has a title has said something that is what it is.
Yes.
This is where you're like, okay, let me try and find out what God is speaking.
Absolutely.
Through his word. Whatever you hear, you know, media, whatever, if it's a boss, a bishop, a pastor, whatever, prophet, prophetess, these days they come up in different forms, shades, and whatever. And it's like you have to come back and weigh it back to the word of God.
Just in the prophecy of the Bible.
Because that is also bringing fear, and it's not edifying the church.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And from a practical sort of point of view, there are two types of worries. There are real worries and then there are hypothetical sort of worries. Real worries are the real problem that are affecting you right now. And then the hypothetical one where, what if I die? What if I have the coronavirus? What if I've spread it to my family? But I was coughing. What if all of that? That takes over and leads you to a really dark place. And then if you're experiencing those sort of worries, so one of the CBT techniques that we usually use is you get a piece of paper, write all your worries down on a piece of paper. Yes, I know this sounds really odd, but the things are like, the evidence-based, they really do work. Write all your worries work out which are the real worries. The real ones are the ones that are affecting your life right now. The ones that are stopping you from, you know, and then the hypothetical, the what ifs. The future ones. Oh, what if I lose my job? They haven't got a letter or an email saying you're going to lose your job. Or what if I do this? And those are because we have no control over those, the big ones. We end up feeling hopeless and helpless and give up, almost wave the flag. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And it stops you from living the life, you know, normally that you would live. And it takes you somewhere, really.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
But just having a list of them,
mm-hmm.
so one of the things that's going to sound really odd that you would do if anyone's experiencing those worries are hypothetical.
Yeah.
Don't just push them aside because they're there. Don't just compress them, they're there. So what you do, you write them down, allocate time to think about them. Say every day around 5:30, I'll give them 30 minutes. Give them that time. I'll think about them. Because when you've allocated the time for them, they won't come and be with you for the rest of the entire day. No, I'll think about them at 5:30. I'll go back to them at 5.
That's great.
And I like the timing because after 5:30, then you know there's a prayer line. But the more you compress, these are real fears. They won't go. They are there. Just validate them and give them that time and then don't just ignore them.
Wow.
And then pray about them in the prayer line.
Yeah. The prayer line.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. As we're about to finish, but I just felt that another thing that I think that would see people through such times, difficult times or stressful times or times of crisis is the ability to maintain optimism. Optimism is something that we need to guard at such a time as this. Studies have shown that people who endured worse situations, even more worse than these ones. We have got a man who passed away recently, one of the senators in the United States by the names of John McCain. You know, what kept John McCain underwent serious torture in Vietnam, yeah? But what kept people like those alive was people who were in the concentration camps. There was a guy called Victor, I think, Frankl. Some of these guys survived the concentration camps because of optimism, because, you know, however much and however dire the day was, they had this hope that things were going to get better, you know? That this torture was going to end. So what I think the people need to know is that there is no permanent situation. Every situation, however dire, it has a shelf life. It will pass. And guess what? Listen to this. You are going to outlive this crisis. You're going to outlive it. The only person that does not outlive this is God. You know, God. That's why it's called the Rock of Ages, you know, because ages come and pass. So that is the one that we need to look to. And the moment you look to him, he is your source of optimism. Yeah. Let's remain optimistic. Let's remain optimistic and say, you know, I think there's what I call self-talk. Self-talk. You know that, Ronnie? Self-talk? Where someone, in your practice, do you tell that to people to tell them to talk to themselves positivity? You know, speak to yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What speech do you? You know, we have been concentrating on what we hear from others. You know, hear God, what you hear from other people. What about what you hear from yourself? You know, what do you speak to yourself? What are you hearing? What are you constantly telling yourself? You see, if you are seeing that you know you're going to die in this thing, then you are already killing yourself. You know, let's maintain optimism and know that this is going to pass. This too is going to pass. The moment we keep doing that and having that schedule that we talked about, limiting our consumption of news and checking their whether they are reliable sources, you know, and staying virtually connected to other people, like you said, that's going to help us. And also maintaining a healthy lifestyle, having enough sleep, exercise. You guys are talking about working out, about with your kids. For you know, not everybody is going to be as brave as you are to go out.
Also taking up a hobby.
Because
I think in such a time as this, I was speaking to a brethren, and we were challenging each other. And I think they took up drawing, and I took up photography. Because I'm like, I'm going to try and find beauty in the midst of this.
Absolutely.
You know, take the camera and try and learn different things. And the time I would probably spend probably thinking or worrying about something, then I focus it on learning a new skill.
Wow. Absolutely. That's good. There are even some courses online. You can do a course in how many you can.
Yeah.
By the time you get out of this
you're question, graduating.
You know, I like that. I like the way you put it. Let's find some beauty out of this. You know?
Yeah.
There will be beautiful ashes, certainly. Let's find some beauty out of this. Amen.
Yeah.
So I want to appreciate you guys for your time, for sharing. We are almost clocking to an hour, so I just want us to close this. But what I can say is that you, all of us, need to be stronger. We need to be healthy. We need to be calm. We need to be calm, because once we are calm, we will be helpful to ourselves. There's a powerful effect and effect that we have on ourselves and also the people around you. If you are strong, healthy, and calm, the people around you will be, you know, strong as well, because what you are full of, what is in you, you exude. You know, if you have got fear, you will exude fear. It's like a virus. You become a contagion of fear.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that is a worse virus than the one that's out there.
We may be locked in
and locked down. But if we are locked down and locked in and we are in fear, then we are gonna cause even more harm.
More harm, yeah.
Yeah. So we need to
corona
be contagion.
Won't get to you, but fear will.
We need to be contagions of hope, not only to ourselves in our houses, but also to people that we speak to on the phone. Get on the phone and call somebody and spread some hope. You know, spread some optimism. Encourage them. Tell them. Pray with them, especially these people. If you know people that are single, people that are on their own, you know, give them a call. Let's reach out to these guys and minister to them. You know. Let's spread the right virus, which is hope. instead of the other one, you know?
The vaccine, that's the one.
Absolutely. Read the word, stay in the word, worship, put on some worship music, put on some, the word, let the word, play the word on tape or your phone, read something positive, you know, exercise, you know, and avoid this kind of anxiety that will cause you into depression, frustration, and anger. Frustration, some people, you know, right now, you know that domestic violence is on the increase now. Some people do not know how to stay in a house together. They don't know how to do that. You know? There are husbands who are, you know, in trepidation right now because they cannot stand their wives. For the whole day, the whole night, you know, they had an escape. They had an escape. Work had become an escape, a place of escape.
Yeah.
But now that they are locked down.
I think you need a podcast on that, Papa.
We are going to do that. That one is coming.
That's really serious. I got an email from a person I work with, and they gave me this sort of website number, and then, you know, just sort of spread it around. Because the reports from the police is that they're increasing by the night.
Yeah.
So there's a charity within Greenwich. They say to spread this, give it to someone who you think needs. So I have it. Pastor, I'll actually call it.
What you're going to do for me, you're going to send it to me, because I'm going to put this podcast online, and I'm gonna have I also have a few other links, so we can incorporate that, so that people can search them and get to them, so they can help. That's very good. Thank you for thinking about that, Ronnie. So as we finish, guys, stay strong, stay positive. Know that God sees you, He is with you, and listen, we as your pastors, we also see you. We are here for you. Just give us a call. Like Ronnie said, share your concerns, share your fears. Do not die alone. Find somebody to share with. Do not die alone. Do not, you know, feel isolated. Do not isolate yourself even before the virus does that. No. We may be socially distanced, but we are not apart. We are closer to each other than you've ever seen. So thank you so much, Mercy. Thank you so much, Bridget. Thank you so much, Ronnie, for your time. And I hope that soon we'll have more time like this. And I hope that people have been blessed. And keep on keeping on what you're doing. And may the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
Reverend.
Yeah.
Just one thing before we go.
Yes, please.
I wanted to share something just small before we go. There's a man who was really angry, so he went and bought some mangoes to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So he got home and he cut the first mango,
mm-hmm.
and then it was rotten inside.
Mm-hmm.
So he was frustrated. So he cut the second mango, and it was also rotten inside.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is starving. So mm-hmm. what he did. Mm-hmm. He switched off the light and ate all the mango. So it's in the mind. Once the fear is there, once you refuse it to come into your mind, you lead a good life.
You eat all the mangoes.
So let's turn off that light and eat the mangoes. Amen.
Love it.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Have a lovely evening.
You have a nice,
have a lovely, night. Have a blessed night.
Same to you guys. Let's believe to tune in again and hear something else soon, very soon. Thank you so very much, guys. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you've been edified. And if so, please do visit again for the upcoming episodes, and make sure to invite a friend or two so that they can gain from what is shared on this channel. You can also visit our website at www.shiloh.org.uk for more episodes and sermons. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. God bless you. Real good.